Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. You know, I'm just delighted to be here and chat with you and those on the other side, and you kind of know who I brought along, don't you?
Good evening, everyone. This is, who is it? Oh, it's Richard. I forget who I am today.
Yeah,
who am I bringing forth? What game are we playing?
Yeah, he's had a busy day today. Anyway, my friends, we have a very special individual here, and you might say he's waiting in the wings. And when he was on Earth, you knew him as Pope John Paul. And if you got our email, you have some of the understanding, the reasons why he's here tonight. He wants to talk about, well, you might say his responsibility as a soul before he even got here to Earth, because he's very much connected to the Eye of Isis. The Eye of Isis is an energy that sweeps around the entire cosmos. And when it is time for a certain region of the cosmos to have these energies come to them, it is a, you might say, a very great opportunity for life in that entire region where the Isis energy is reaching to be expanded, to grow, to have this enormous jump in spiritual understanding. And so this soul that came, that you recognize as Pope John Paul, is the soul who works with this Isis energy, and it is our time in the cosmos to be receiving the Isis energy, and it is the reason that he is here. He wanted to talk about that, his connection to it, the reason he came as a pope, and came when he did, left when he did, and the future of the Catholic Church. Well, I just hope we get all of this in 1 hour. So, Richard, have you connected with him yet?
Yeah, I think he's hanging around in the back stalls there somewhere.
He told us earlier he was all ready. He's raring to go. So, let's start with this. First of all, I would like to thank you, dear friend, for coming here on this radio show today and enlightening us of, you might say, the path, the pathway in our near future, the kind of energies that have come to this planet, how they started and so forth. Anyway, I would like to ask you, how do you want me to address you, Pope John Paul?
And he is saying, you may call me Pope John Paul because that is what I am most commonly known to humanity as.
Very good. That is how we will address you, Pope John Paul. And so give us some thoughts as to what the Eye of Isis energy is, your connection to it, and perhaps how you have been shepherding it around the cosmos. And I know this is a long introduction here, and the reason why it's here now.
The Eye of Isis energy is, as you described it, a searchlight of energy which travels around the cosmos. It is like this shaft of energy, if you will, which passes out into the cosmos from cosmic center, from all there is. You may not be aware that energies come to your planet, generally speaking, from all there is via your sun, and they get to your sun via a relatively indirect route, passing from one major sun, if you will, to another, until they reach your location. And so this causes delays and it causes changes in the energies to some extent. However, in the case of the energies which are contained in that Eye of Isis searchlight, to call it that, these energies come directly from all there is in the center of the cosmos, and so they carry direct energies without the distortion, you could say, of the indirect paths, without the changes, without the losses that occur through that process. And so these energies are very, as I said, direct and very powerful. And these energies, this searchlight, if you will, makes a pass around the entire cosmos about once every million years in your terminology. And so it is not a frequent thing in terms of how you view time that this comes to visit. And so when it does, it is indeed a very auspicious time. As you said, it enables or provides the opportunity for great spiritual growth for those beings, for those expressions of consciousness, if you will, which are in the direct line of these energies. And so, as far as Earth is concerned, these energies began to arrive in about 1987 and have been building up since that time. And they will be at their peak, you may not be surprised by this, at the end of 2012. And so you may perhaps begin to understand that there has been some coordination, some planning done, such that these energies are present at the time when this return of planet Earth and humanity to a higher level of consciousness was planned to occur. And you may perhaps begin to understand that on some levels the fall in Atlantis was unplanned, and yet in other ways it was planned, or certainly allowed for as a very real possibility. And so there are many things which are coordinated with this time. However, the thing to be aware of is that these energies are here now, bathing your planet, assisting with the preparation which is occurring, and supporting these other energies which are coming forth through the various gateways, the various full moons, the equinoxes, the solstices, and so on. These are working in conjunction with the energies of the Eye of Isis. And my role as a soul has been to shepherd these energies around the cosmos. It is a responsibility that I was given a long time ago. And so I came to planet Earth as the Pope to be in a position where I could understand the consciousness upon your planet as these energies began to arrive. And indeed, this was not the only incarnation that I had upon your planet. I had several others, so that I could understand the energies, the consciousness which existed upon your planet, and to enable me to fulfill my role as best I could in terms of ensuring that the Eye of Isis carried those energies which would best serve the mission which was planned for this time. And from my words, you may begin to understand that these are not fixed energies, but indeed they change to reflect the requirements of those expressions of consciousness which are in the area of the searchlight, as it were, as it arrives. And so you may also begin to understand that this searchlight, if you will, is about 40 years, 50 years perhaps in width, in your terms, as it passes this area of the cosmos. And so it has been in place to support the beginning and indeed the ongoing transition as this planet passes through ascension and beyond. And I would also quickly mention that the reason I came to be the Pope in that time was to be in a place of visible leadership, yet outside of the political role. And some saw that I was perhaps not a typical Pope in terms that the Popes have been seen. And there is perhaps some truth in that, because I truly understood who and what I was and my role and my mission. And so that perhaps is sufficient for now.
Thank you. We have a caller on line 2, Judy from Ontario. Judy, what is your question, dear? Judy? Well, for whatever reason, Judy's been waiting and apparently is not hearing me now. And maybe she got tired of waiting and hung up. I don't know. So what we will do is we will continue. We will continue with this interesting story. I think the next area that we wish to cover is the time of your coming and the time of your leaving. Dear Father, was a time of great change. I understand some of the history. You were just, well, I won't say just, it was the beginning of your career as a young priest when Europe was in a great deal of turmoil with the war, and how you worked with helping souls during that time. And so did that have a bearing, that particular point of history have a bearing on you coming also? And then a little bit of an idea of the leaving, because I suspect that you had a very long time when you held the space for Earth with your energy. So can you give us a little insight into that?
It was an important time to be present on Earth for several reasons. Firstly, although, as I mentioned, the energies began in earnest, you could say, in 1987, in truth, the preparation began a long time before this, and although it was some time before I consciously understood my role, once I had come to Earth, because of the nature of your consciousness, and everyone comes without remembering who they are, I gradually came to understand this, and so I came to understand that I played a role in bringing some preparatory energies to the planet. And so this was an important aspect of the timing in which I came. And indeed it was of great value to be able to be present during that very difficult period upon your planet, to seek to ease some of the darkness which was present during that time, and perhaps I was able to assist in some small regard. And I wished to complete my preparatory work sometime before the arrival of the 2012 date, if you will, sometime before the preparation in earnest, because it was important for me to be able to work from the higher levels, if you will, as this preparation work began in earnest, because it was important for me to be able to more actively husband the energies both of the Eye of Isis and also to assist with the preparation of those energies which come forth to your planet during those gateways that I mentioned earlier, the full moons, the equinoxes, the solstice, and so on. And so the timing of my visit, you could say, was very carefully chosen to coincide with that window of preparation that needed to be undertaken.
I thank you for that answer. I am not seeing the cosmos from your perspective, and I hope this doesn't seem like a silly question, but I would kind of think the people who are listening would like to have some understanding of how you work with these energies. You say, as a soul, this was your responsibility over a very long period of time to husband these energies. So can you give us some sort of an idea as to your role? How does one work with these energies, considering you're covering such a, I should say, a wide space, the cosmos itself? How does one do this? Give me some insight as to how you work with this, if you can.
Let me take the example of your planet. I was aware that these energies were due to arrive in your area of the cosmos. And I was also aware of the importance of the date that you know of as the end of 2012, where this important process of ascension will begin upon planet Earth. Few upon your planet are aware that this process has much wider ramifications for all levels of consciousness within creation, and indeed great ramifications for those ones that you call those beings of the dark. And so this event was seen to be one of great import. And so I, as I said, I came on several occasions to understand the energies upon your planet in preparation for my last incarnation here as the Pope, so I could understand the nature of these energies and understand what was going to be required, both to prepare for them and secondly to determine what these energies should contain. And so part of my role is to communicate with all there is to ensure that the energies that are required for a particular period of time, if you will, to ensure and to ensure that the outcomes that are planned for a particular area as this energy passes by are fulfilled. And so part of this role, as I say, is to interact with all there is to ensure that the quality and the nature of these energies, the content of these energies, is appropriate for the task at hand. And so that preparation began several hundred years ago in your time when I began to come. And so my responsibility, as I say, is to understand the exact nature of the area or the consciousness that these energies are about to impact, to fine-tune the content of those energies, working with all there is, and then to undertake any preparatory work that may be required to optimize the conditions before those energies begin to arrive. These are the key elements of what I undertake.
Well, now I'm really starting to understand your role, and it's very exciting. So from what you're telling me, if I'm understanding it correctly, after these energies pass through Earth, after 2012, and we have accomplished what we need to accomplish here, then you would be moving to the next part of the cosmos where the energies would be moving and incarnate there and understand the consciousness of the beings there and, I guess, the planet itself, and then coordinate this with all there is to, you might say, fine-tune what is required to help these people advance. Is this sort of like a general overall picture of how you're working with all there is, the people who are to advance, and the areas that you will be working with? Is that sort of like, in a nutshell, what you do?
This expresses it quite well. However, there is an overlap, if you will. Firstly, it is important to recognize that this searchlight of energy is passing through the cosmos. And so in this moment, for example, it is not only planet Earth which is being impacted. And so, as I know you understand, a soul in its totality, the monad, if you will, that is created, can send fingers of consciousness, fingers of itself, if you like, to incarnate in many places at the same time. Indeed, that is quite normal for a monad to do this. And so I am, in fact, working in many places at the same time. These energies which are coming to Earth are also energies which are serving other areas that are in this searchlight beam, if you will, although I would say none are quite so important as what is happening on Earth, but nevertheless there are other beings being impacted, and these need to be taken into consideration. Further, the searchlight, if you will, continues to progress, and so I am already working with the preparatory work for the areas where this beam is moving to. So, as you can see, there are many threads to what is occurring. It is a spectrum of activity, if you will, rather than a singular activity for a given planet.
Thank you. Now, where we are located here on Earth, of course, we have our solar system. And I would imagine that you have taken this whole energies of this whole solar system in consideration as you work with all there is, and you might say refine these energies. And so my question is this, are there other conscious beings, souls, maybe in some sort of physical form or not in a physical form, located on other planets in the solar system?
Indeed, there are. There are forms of consciousness, indeed beings present on all of the planets in your solar system. Not all of them have physical bodies, as you would know them, but some do. And indeed, you should expect that there are expressions of consciousness on every planet, in every moon, in or on every form of matter which exists anywhere. Each planet has a consciousness of its own, and so does your moon, for example. So there are both beings and there is the consciousness of the physical bodies themselves. So this is a much more complex issue than humanity currently recognizes. You have been, by and large, persuaded that you are alone as the only form of intelligent life in anywhere in the cosmos, and such a notion is, I might say, ludicrous in the extreme. Indeed, as I have begun to indicate, everything has consciousness, and some of you have already begun to remember this and to communicate with some of these other forms. So even when we consider your planet, not only do the animals have their own consciousness, but indeed the trees and the plants, even the rocks, have their own consciousness. And all of this needs to be taken into account as this planning is undertaken.
And from what you're saying, the next logical leap would be that all forms of consciousness in our solar system and upon the Earth is going to be advancing as humanity advances and moves to a next higher level of energy. Am I on the right track with that?
You are indeed on the right track.
Thank you. Now, we have a caller, Greg from Florida, who is in line on line one and has a question for you. Greg, what's your question?
I actually have two questions this evening, and thank you for taking my call. Pope John Paul, when you were Pope, did you feel or could you feel that the powers of the dark suppressed your voice at that time that you were reigning, especially regarding the strife within the church when you ruled?
I think that's an excellent question. So, Pope John Paul, what is your answer to that?
Some have begun to recognize that the fingers of the dark, if you will, deeply penetrate the Catholic Church. Indeed, many have begun to understand that even though it portrays itself as an organization to bring a path to God, if you will, indeed, it has been an organization about power and control. And it is an organization that worked very hard to stamp out the teachings that came forth from the one they supposedly represent, that is, the one you know as Yeshua or Jesus. And I understood this. I understood this very well. And few are aware that I communicated continuously with the one you know of as Mother Mary. She was a guiding light in my life for most of my life. And yet I represented an organization that would say that communicating with beings outside of this consciousness was communicating with the devil. I knew this was not the case. And so it was a very fine line that I trod, because I understood who and what I was. I understood why I was here. I understood my purpose and why I took that role. And so I trod very carefully, seeking to massage the role of the church into a role which was perhaps more appropriate and more appropriately reflected the views and understandings in your world today. However, there was only a limited amount that I could do and yet remain a viable leader, you could say, within the organization that I represented. It was a challenging role, but I was fully conscious of the path that I walked, and I chose it with great care.
Thank you. Do you have another part of the question, Greg?
This is a personal question. Pope, I'm ready to serve. Look at me. What role would I best be capable of fulfilling going forward?
Well, that's a beautiful question. Let's see what his answer might be for someone who wishes to serve.
You are one that has come forth to serve in the preparation of humanity for these coming times. there is a key process that needs to be undertaken for those who will choose to participate in the ascension process. And I'm sad to say not all of humanity will choose that. And there are many reasons for that that I do not wish to go into. But there will be many of humanity that will be, that will awaken and understand what is happening and undertake the necessary preparation. And the key aspects of those preparation, of that preparation indeed involves two commands that have been given to these two that are leading this call, as in Carolyn and Richard. And they are commands for karmic clearing and rejuvenation. And indeed, you are one that has come forth to assist with that preparatory work. And so I encourage you to, if you have not already registered with the 2012countdown.com website, do that, and then when you receive an email, reply to that email and give your details to Richard, and he will add you to the list of those who he knows are to do this work, because you are one of those who are to do this work.
Thank you. Well, I guess, Greg, you weren't expecting that, were you?
Well, in a fashion, I was. It just reinforced what I already knew. I know that I'm here to help.
Well, something that you can relate to. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate your call, and we appreciate your desire to help, as this is a large undertaking, you might say. I have a question that, well, I've got several questions, dear Pope John Paul, and one of them is, you certainly do have great insight as to the truth of what is coming forth from the church and where they've been in the past and where they're going in the future. And so I would like, if you can, a little bit of information from your perspective as to the church's future path, if you will.
It is an interesting question and a difficult subject. Few today who consider themselves to be members of the Catholic Church truly understand the history of the Church, how it came to be what it is, how it came to express the views, the doctrines, and so on that it expresses. It is an organization of great conflict in the sense that it espouses certain behaviors, and yet it has very often not abided by those behaviors. Few today recognize, for example, that many of the popes not only had relationships and had children, but indeed in some cases were married. Indeed, it was not uncommon for the higher levels of the church to have relationships with the opposite sex, and yet today it portrays itself as endeavoring to be in denial, not only of this, but denial of the sexual nature of the human being when it comes to its own individual members, as far as the clergy is concerned. And so what has begun to unravel is that distortion, if you will. This thread which has begun to be pulled, this issue of abuse of children by the church fathers over a long period of time, is beginning to be the thread which will cause the truth of what the church has been about to begin to be revealed. I am not saying that the church has not had great value in many ways to many people, that it has given them some comfort in a time when humanity has not understood who and what they are and what it means to be a human being. But I would say that what the church has done is distorted that truth to a great degree for their own purposes. And by and large, humanity has forgotten the paths that church has walked. They have forgotten the role that the Inquisition performed. The fact that for a long period of time there was no distinction between the church and the state. There was a transition in power. In the early days of the church, it was really a tool of the emperors of Rome to control the people. That's how it came into its initial powerful form. However, that relationship evolved, the balance changed, and so it was the church that became more powerful than the emperors, and indeed all of what you might term royalty throughout Europe in particular. And so we had this extraordinary abuse of power, is the only way to describe it, known as the Inquisition, where it simply could declare anyone as being in contravention of the faith as it was defined, and that individual would be tortured to death, brutally tortured to death. And there was no need for a trial. It was simply decreed, and that was the end of it. Further, we have the history where there were, you could say, wars conducted in the name of the church because it suited the Pope of the time to supposedly guarantee a path to heaven for those who went forth and fought in the name of the church. And the Crusades are an example of this, but there are others within Europe and so on where these events were undertaken. And so there's been such an abuse of power on so many levels, and a complete destruction of the truth of what Jesus or Yeshua taught. And I mention these things to you because your planet has entered the time when these truths are beginning to come forth. And this outcry which has begun over the abuse of children, the sexual abuse of children, is the thread which will begin to cause this facade of the church to unravel and the truth begin to come forth. And people will begin to understand that so much that the church has promoted has been for its own power and control, and indeed continues to be so. They do not have the authorities that they claim to speak on behalf of God or Yeshua or anyone else. They do not have that right. And so these things will begin to be understood, and very quickly. This will be fully understood before you reach the end of 2012. So much change is in your near future in regard to the perceptions of the Catholic Church. Much change. And so I mentioned these to, you could say, give you a heads up on what is beginning to unfold.
Well, thank you for this information. We're going to pursue this in another line, but for now, we're going to take a call from Hetty from Arizona, who is on line one. Hetty?
Hi, Carolyn and Richard.
Hi, dear.
I love you both. Listening to the call, this is going to alarm a lot of people, church-going people who will discover the truth coming out. The question that I have for the Pope is when he was Pope of the Church, was he aware of what was going on, and did he feel that he was restricted from doing anything about it? And then how is this going to play out?
I'm assuming you're talking about the sexual abuse, or are you talking about the abuse of power? The sexual abuse of children? Okay. Richard, if you'd be kind enough to take Pope John's answer to that, I would appreciate it. Did he understand the question?
Yes. As I have indicated in my earlier answers and comments, I have understood from early in my time as a senior figure in the church the abuses that the church had foisted upon humanity on many levels. And yet I also understood the role that I was fulfilling. And because of who and what I was and my ability to communicate with Mother Mary and other beings on the other side of that veil that surrounds your planet, I was aware of the plans and the unfolding of things, and I understood that all of this would unfold, and it would unfold at the appropriate time. And it was a difficult path to walk because I had to soften the stance of the church as best I could in a manner which did not destroy the benefits that it could bring forth, and yet also acted in a manner to seek to limit, if you will, the negative aspects of what the church was doing, knowing that the truth would all unfold after I had moved on. So there was an awareness, but an awareness in a broader context, if you will, of both my mission and the unfolding of the truth of the church.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Hattie?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Carolyn and Richard.
Thank you, dear. I have a question that I truly understand what you're saying, Pope John, is that for many souls, the church brought great solace and direction. And you might say that was on one side of the scale, so to speak, and on the other side was truth itself. And you knew that the time would come when these would be revealed in its moment. I'd like to address a little about something that you mentioned earlier, and that is dear to my heart, is that the teachings of Yeshua or Jesus, whatever term one uses, was not brought forth in its clarity or truth. And I want to know from your perspective how the truth of that is going to come forth, number one. So let's address that. The truth of what Yeshua taught with regards to healing, with regards to going within and understanding a soul's relationship to their creator, how do you see that as coming forth into the public's awareness?
There are several threads to this as I perceive it. The first is there is a record of those writings of Yeshua which have never been made public. They were kept in secret because it was recognized that the teachings were likely to be suppressed, and so they were preserved and kept in secret to come forth in this time. And so they will be brought forth. There are also personal scrolls of Mary Magdalene, which have also been preserved and will come forth and be shared between now and the end of 2012. Further, there will be the secrets of the Templars that will come forth, because at the heart of that organization, they were teaching and practicing the great truths of the light, the great truths and practices that Yeshua taught. They were at the heart of what the Templars were about, and indeed are encoded in all of the Gothic cathedrals and elsewhere. And the code by which to understand all that is expressed within those buildings will come forth, and great understanding will flow as a result of that information coming forth into the public domain. And so these are some of the steps, if you will, that will bring this information forth.
Thank you. So from what you're saying, it's going to be a gradual unfolding and not so much, shall we say, talking against the Catholic Church, but bringing forth further understanding as to who and what Yeshua and Mary Magdalene was. And that fits in with my concept also. Let me ask you something about how people feel from your perspective. And I'm speaking here of what we might say people who were born in the Catholic faith. Do you feel that they are starting to wake up to these broader truths, that perhaps they haven't been told all of the truth?
There are many that have been raised within the Catholic Church who have come to realize that what they were being taught was not the truth. And you indeed are an example of this. And there are many, many others. And so there has been this process unfolding, and the energies that have been coming to the planet have been, you could say, encouraging this awakening of humanity to the truth of who and what they are. And I would also say that there is a very large base of those who consider themselves to be members of the Catholic Church who are not in any way ready to accept that the Church may have been inaccurate in what it has portrayed. And so for some people, there will be a great shock as these truths come forth. And indeed, I would say that for most of humanity, what is about to unfold over the next 2 years will be a period of great shock, of great confusion, as they begin to understand that the nature of life upon your planet is about to transform, and that they have a small window of time in which to prepare. Yes, it is quite easy to prepare in truth, but much that they have taken life to be about, not only what the Catholic Church has taught them, but so many other aspects of life as they have held it to be, they will begin to understand is not in truth accurate. So it is going to be a very unsettling period upon your planet between now and the end of 2012.
Thank you. I'd like to ask another question along these similar to what we're discussing, but in a little different vein. It's my understanding that the Church has secreted, if you will, documents that were contradictory to what they were teaching, and that these are held in the Vatican. And so my question is this, number one, is that true? And secondly, if it is true, will this information at some point be revealed?
It is an interesting question that you ask, because yes, it is true that the Church gathered and sealed away a lot of evidence of what, in fact, Yeshua was teaching. And when I was the Pope, I had access to those records, and I spent quite a deal of time researching some of this information. And I would welcome the opportunity to share with you some of these truths, and perhaps we could put out another book or ebook which covers some of this ground. However, it is uncertain how much additional value this will achieve, though I, in simple answer to your question, would say that the Vatican does have a great deal of information about the truths that Yeshua taught. And those in power in the church that have examined these to any great degree are fully aware of the distinction between what the church stands for and what Yeshua stood for. They understand it very well, and indeed, at the time that, for example, the Cathars and the Templars were, you could say, stamped out, in part it was because it was, in the case of the Cathars, it was very well understood that they were practicing the original teachings of Yeshua, and it had become suspected that indeed the Templars on some level were practicing these teachings, though it was never established or proven in their case. And so there was indeed this knowledge and a great effort made by the church to stamp out the truth of what Yeshua taught and what he stood for. Make no mistake, the church fathers over a long period of time were very clear about this distinction and acted to reinforce their power and authority and to stamp out any evidence that might exist or any practices which supported the actual truth that Yeshua was bringing forth.
The your statement about giving us information that concerned Yeshua's true teachings and to bring it forth in an e-book excites me greatly. I would like to take you up on that and work with that because, as you know, it is something that is dear to my heart. I'd like to address the Cathars because that is another area of great interest of mine. And you might say those who win, the victors, are the ones who write the history. And what the church and the state and those who persecuted the Cathars wrote a history of them that I don't believe is accurate either. And I would like a specific statement about, as I understand it, the Cathars practiced information from a book of love, what they call the book of love or the book of John, I believe. Can you give me, give us a little information as to what that was? Or the way, they also called it the way.
There was a book which came forth from the Apostle John, which was indeed known as the Book of Love, which carried the core teachings that Yeshua taught. And it was the reference, if you will, the source of the practices of the Cathars and indeed some other groups. And this indeed taught the core practices of Yeshua to go within, to find your truths within, to connect with your Creator within. And this is what they practiced. And there were also other connections for the Cathars because, as you are aware, both Yeshua and Mary Magdalene lived in that area of southern France after the crucifixion. And so the knowledge, you could say, that came forth with the Cathars really had its genesis, if I can use that term, with the teachings of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene in that area of the world. And so there were threads which both came from that book from the Apostle John and from the basic teachings of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene themselves as they lived and worked in that area.
Well, this is exciting information, and my golly, an hour goes so fast, we are practically off the air. And so I would like to thank you so much, and perhaps we'll might do another show or and do the ebook. And thank you so much, Pope John Paul. And Richard, would you be kind enough quickly give, because we have 1 minute, people information about the ebook that already exists that Pope John Paul has given to us?
Yes, perhaps the easiest way would be to point people to the website. The ebook is called Viva Papa, and Carolyn can probably tell us this website. It's www.popejohnpaulspeaks.com.
Richard, thank you for your service. As usual, you have done this so beautifully. And I hope this information that we have brought forth is of great service to our listeners. And Richard and I thank you for being there listening to us. And I thank you, Richard, again, for your great service.
Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you to Pope John Paul for coming forth and spending this time with us tonight.
Until next week, my friends, we'll see you then.